KFIW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. A Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal reached today between Israel and Hamas. Phases of the agreement call for the release of hostages, along with Palestinian prisoners, more humanitarian aid into Gaza, along with reconstruction and the withdrawal of Israeli forces. President Biden says the framework is similar to the proposal he outlined last May.
President Biden said the road to this ceasefire and hostage release deal has not been easy.
I've worked in foreign policy for decades. This is one of the toughest negotiations I've ever experienced.
The president said there were many roadblocks and setbacks, but the administration did not give up on diplomacy and said this deal came together because of the pressure that Israel built on Hamas, backed by the United States. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
The Biden administration and the Trump team working together in those final weeks of talks. The president says the next administration will need to ensure that the deal holds. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Thanks to the quick thinking and observational skills of bank employees, a suspected bank robber was arrested less than 20 minutes after police received the call. The Wells Fargo branch on South State Street in Appleton was robbed Tuesday morning. Police recovered the money when they arrested a 63-year-old Appleton man who is being held in the Outagamie County Jail. The suspect is expected to face charges of robbery. The Wisconsin DOT and Governor Tony Evers announced the WIS 47 and WIS 55 improvement project in the Menominee Nation will receive a $25 million grant from the Federal Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity Program. The RAISE program supports surface transportation infrastructure projects with significant local or regional impact that are difficult to fund through other programs. The project will resurface nearly 40 miles of road and replace about 100 culverts. Road improvements will include safety features such as guardrail upgrades, centerline rumble strips, shoulder widening, and 6-inch pavement marking, as well as the relocation of a pull-off area near Markton and multimodal improvements near Neopit, including lighting, ADA-compliant curb ramps, and sidewalk replacements. There's a lot of money already flowing in the race for the state Supreme Court. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Announced candidates have released fundraising forms with the race already breaking fundraising records. Susan Crawford says she's got $2.8 million. Brad Schimmel's report shows $2.2 million raised. The race is expected to surpass the previous record-breaking $51 million spent in the 2023 Protasiewicz-Kelly contest. Estimates suggest total spending could reach $80 million.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
Greg Gard gets number 200. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin held on at the Kohl Center to win 70-68 over The Ohio State. Badgers head coach Greg Gard with his 200th career win.
As I told the team downstairs, I mean, it's a lot of hard work by a lot of people putting me in this position and a lot of people that should go on that 200.
In Chicago, number 7th ranked Marquette beat DePaul in overtime, 85-83. NBA, the Bucks took over early and beat the Kings 130-115, ending Sacramento's 7-game winning streak. NFL, with the loss of Christian Watson to a torn ACL, Jets wide receiver Davante Adams on what he thinks the Packers should do next.
It's looking right now like obviously they might need some receiver help in one way or the other just based off of what they have available. And you know, maybe a veteran or something in there. I don't know. We'll see.
That's former Packer Davante Adams with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Breezy today and becoming cloudy. As winds switch to out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to near 20 degrees. And we've got light snow moving in this evening. Mainly after 5 o'clock, it'll wind down in the overnight hours. Accumulations look around a half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW Weekly Newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Governor Evers announcing a new Office of Violence Prevention, talking about gun safety. And J.R. Ratcliffe, talk all things sports in hour number two. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. Got Jess P.S. over on the board. You can be a big part of this program anytime. Talk or text 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell to introduce to you our co-host of the day, Matt Rothschild, a friend of ours. You may know him from the Progressive Magazine back in the day, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and of course, a Civic Media contributor. Matt, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thanks, Dom. It's always fun to be with you on Wednesday afternoons.
Yeah, man, makes the week go so much smoother. Lots going on in the news today, Matt. Of course, the president-elect is getting his due, man. His folks are getting their senatorial, what are they called, advice and consent. Today, Pam Bondi, one of many, up talking to the senators. We're going to get into some of that as well. We got the inauguration coming up. Michelle Obama not attending, but apparently the other living presidents will be. We'll talk about that as well. Some of the entertainment has been released for the inauguration. We'll talk about that as well. But let's start out with the news of the day. Hamas and Israel have agreed to a ceasefire hostage deal. Certainly good news. But I got to tell you, Matt, as I looked at some of the details of this, it comes in phases. You know, there's different parts to it. And what concerns me about any kind of deal like this that's stretched out over time is that, generally speaking, time kills deals, man. You know what I mean? If you don't get the deal done, time kills all deals, as I say in sales. What's your, of course, this is good news, no doubt about it, but it doesn't get it all done immediately. What was your initial reaction, Matt?
My initial reaction was great relief. I mean, there's been so much suffering on both sides of this. It was a good thing that we finally got a ceasefire anyway, at least for 42 days. I hope that will be extended. I hope the war is over. You're right to be skeptical. Who knows? The devil's in the details. We haven't heard from Netanyahu. The Israeli cabinet's got to approve it. Netanyahu has, in the past, moved the goalpost at the last minute and wrecked some of these negotiations. And Netanyahu and Hamas, let's remember, these two folks, I mean, the Hamas leaders and Netanyahu had a sickening symbiosis where they didn't care how many innocent people got killed. Hamas leaders knew that when they attacked grotesquely on October 7th, killing 1,200 people, including 46 Americans. They knew then that Israel would respond tenfold or a hundredfold, and that's what's happened. And Netanyahu didn't care how many Palestinians he killed in response. And the number that I saw when I was doing a little research this afternoon was 46,000 Palestinians, including 18,000 children.
Oh, my God.
And that's just horrifying. And my wife and I would be watching the news and just, you know, seeing these reports about starving Palestinians for the last several months. Mm-hmm. At least humanitarian aid's going to get through. And that's a relief. Biden deserves some credit here. I mean, he did, claim rightfully that he had proposed this deal back in May, that the outlines of the deal are the same as they were back in May. But my question is, what took so long?
Right.
And how many people had to die since May because of this? I mean, I heard Blinken with my own 2 ears say back in June that they're on the 10-yard line. That's not a great offense to take 7-8 months to get 10 yards.
Right.
And all the people who died as a result. So those are basically my reactions on that. I saw Biden's press conference live. I thought he was pretty good, but kind of embarrassing, too, at the same time. No one else seemed to pick up on this. But I heard him mix up Hezbollah and Hamas in the first sentence.
That. Yeah.
I heard him mix up Kuwait and Qatar in the third sentence. I mean, come on, man.
Some of the reporting from ABCNews.com. Now, this was negotiation between Hamas and Israel, with the United States, Egypt, and Qatar acting as intermediaries. The agreement will go into effect on Sunday, according to Qatari officials. The deal will take place in 3 different phases, each of which will last for 6 weeks, according to the officials. Phase 1 of the ceasefire has been finalized, while phases 2 and 3 are still in draft phase and will be finalized after the first 6 weeks are complete. So the first full details of what phase 1 is. Israel will withdraw to the east, away from the densely populated areas, and more aid, as Matt mentioned, will be allowed into Gaza. Coordination is currently underway to open the Palestinian side of the Rafah border crossing to allow the entry of international aid into Gaza, according to Egyptian security sources. Israel forces will stay at the border. Now, 33 hostages being held in Gaza will be released, starting with women, children, and the elderly. Biden said that Americans will be part of the initial hostage release. 3 Americans are believed to be alive in Hamas custody. 4 others are believed to be dead. Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners being held by Israel will also be released in exchange for the hostages, Biden said. We have some sound from Biden, but here's one of the quotes. During phase 1, the Palestinians can also return to their neighborhoods in all areas of Gaza, and the surge of humanitarian assistance into Gaza will begin, and innocent people can have greater access to these vital supplies.
Well, what's left of those neighborhoods?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what's left of Gaza?
Holy cow.
Hey, congratulations. It's like you're going home in California with the wildfires. What are you going home to? There's nothing left in lots of these
going
areas.
Going home to rubble.
Going home to rubble and ash. We do have some sound, Matt. Let's play it for the people. Just doing all the hard work. I mean, there's a lot. You work hard. I got to appreciate it. I mean, there's a lot of sound, lots of bits and pieces to kind of pull together to do this fine show. And Jess, you are a big part. Let's get to President Joe Biden on the Israel-Gaza ceasefire hostage deal. The framework, Matt referenced, going back to May. Cut number 1, please.
The elements of this deal are what I laid out in detail this past May, which was embraced by countries around the world and endorsed overwhelmingly by the UN Security Council.
Great. Matt, what took so long, man? I mean, it's good news, but certainly still frustrated. And I just got to say, Matt, I mean, I was born in 71. The hostages in the Middle East is like normal part of life. I mean, how long have we been dealing with hostages in the Middle East and peace negotiations in the Middle East, so on and so forth? This has been going on certainly since my lifetime. And I get it. These are long-term struggles and whatnot. But come on. It seems like it's on repeat, Matt. I keep hearing deals for hostages, deals for hostages, deals for hostages.
Yeah, I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Six-Day War back in the late 60s. There were a few moments over the last, holy smoke, 6 decades, where it seemed like things would move forward when you had the agreement with Sadat of Egypt. Of course, then he got assassinated. Or when you had
and that was by Yasser, if I may, Yasser, that assassination of Sadat was by like hardliner Israelis, right?
No, Sadat was the Egyptian military themselves turning their guns. In college, I remember seeing the footage of the Egyptian military turning their guns on their leader. That was crazy.
Yes.
But Yitzhak Rabin, this was another hopeful moment when he and Arafat came to the White House. It looked like, you know, things were moving in the right direction. And then Rabin got killed by a right-wing Israeli. And things went downhill after that. and this isn't the solution to the Israel-Palestine crisis that we've been dealing with at least since 67, and some would say since 48. But at least it's a good day for people who've been suffering for a long time to get a little relief and to get some humanitarian aid in there. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, you know, budget negotiations, that it's just always there.
It is. And you know, it's a good day today. And so in those days, we relish those days and we remember and we hope we have more good days ahead. But unless there's some fundamental changes in mindset, philosophy, and whatever the case is in the Middle East, I mean, you know, how long until this happens again? But let's not be negative on it. Let's hear some more from the president of the United States talking about the Americans that will be released. Cut number two, please.
I'm proud to say Americans will be part of that hostage release in phase one as well. And the vice president and I cannot wait to welcome them home.
Yeah.
Oh, that might have been the first time that Kamala Harris smiled there during that little brief press conference. She was stone-faced along with Secretary of State Blinken, who looked like he needs some sleep. They were standing next to Biden when he was giving that live press conference. I want to hear more from Kamala Harris about anything, including about this deal. I want to hear from her, as I think she's still the putative leader of the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party just seems at a loss here as to how to respond to anything.
Seemingly organizationally, perhaps a little rudderless, Matt. We'll get into that as well. Talk about the DNC. There is a new candidate running for the DNC. But let's stay on right now. The deal between Hamas and Israel, ceasefire hostages deal. I think we're on cut number three, please.
Indeed. This is what you've already read, but now we can actually hear it in Biden's own voice.
During phase one, the Palestinians can also return to their neighborhoods in all the areas of Gaza. And the surge of humanitarian assistance into Gaza will begin. And the innocent people can have a greater access to these vital supplies.
And again, what's left of those neighborhoods. Let's play a couple more of the president talking about the deal today. Cut number four, please.
There are a number of details to negotiate to move from phase one to phase two. But the plan says if negotiations take longer than 6 weeks, the ceasefire will continue as long as the negotiations continue.
A lot of ifs.
But, you know, that's a bit of an out, isn't it?
Yeah,
we don't want to negotiate anymore. Ceasefire's over. That's a concern right there.
And again, anytime you have a three-phase, 18-week deal? I mean, 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. That's assuming things go as planned, as predicted. We're still talking a couple of months. And again, we got to take the positives as we can, but I remain skeptical. Time kills deals, and until every one of these hostages are home, until the Palestinians can return to what is left of their homes, and then what's next then? You know what I'm saying? Great. So we got past the last crisis, just like we did. Well, we haven't yet. The crisis before that, and the crisis before that, and the crisis before that, going back decades. You know, we got to change something here. Right. We've got to change the trajectory of what's happening, or we'll be having these conversations again in another couple of years, another 10 years. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. My guest host today, Matt Rothschild. We got Jess P.S. on the board. You folks on the lines, 855-752-4842. We're going to come back with more of the sound of President Biden on this historic day.
Not to put too fine upon it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. And while you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine upon it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Are you seeking an amazing atmosphere where you can enjoy well-executed comfort food for lunch or dinner? Maybe even a cold craft beer, signature cocktail, or glass of wine after a hard day's work? Look no further than Heights Pub and Parlor in downtown Green Bay. Three levels of gorgeous architecture with top-notch friendly service, mouth-watering food, and a kitchen open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 9. You'll find any excuse to come back. Visit weekdays from 11 to 10 and open till 11 Fridays and Saturdays. Check us out on Facebook or online at HeightsGB.com.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Co-host today, Matt Rothschild, joining me at the on the board. You folks on the lines and the text as well, 855-75-CIVIC. We're talking about the details of the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. A three-phase, three-pronged plan, Matt. A little bit from the reporting, and then we'll go back to some of the sound from President Joe Biden today. We talked about phase one. Here's what ABC is reporting regarding phase two. Phase two in 42 days, announcement of sustainable calm, permanent cessation of military operations and all hostilities to be implemented before the exchange of remaining Israeli male hostages, civilians, and soldiers for an agreed-upon number of prisoners in Israeli jails, and the complete withdrawal of Israeli forces from the Gaza Strip. That's phase two in the 42 days. Phase three, once again, the remains and bodies held in the possession of both parties will be exchanged after identification. The reconstruction of Gaza will start and last for 3 to 5 years, including homes, civilian buildings, infrastructure, with compensation for all affected individuals under the supervision of several countries and organizations, including Egypt, Qatar, and the United Nations. And the opening of the crossings and allowing the movement of people and goods.
But it doesn't say, Dom, does it? And this, who's going to rule? Who's going to rule the, you know, the Gaza Strip? Is that, is Hamas going to rule it? Is Qatar, Egypt, and the United Nations going to rule it?
Government coming out of, right, of the Gaza Strip right now? I mean, that's a great question, and is not addressed.
Netanyahu has consistently said the war is not going to be over unless Gaza no longer runs, unless Hamas no longer runs Gaza. So, I mean, that's a big question.
Huge question. And again, that's a concern. So lots of things to be ironed out yet, but we got phase one underway. So here is the president talking about the phase two exchange. Cut number five, please.
When phase two begins, there will be an exchange for release of the remaining living hostages, including male soldiers, and all remaining Israeli forces will be withdrawn from Gaza, and the temporary ceasefire will become permanent.
President Biden speaking today. Let's play cut number six, please, Jess.
There was no other way for this war to end than with a hostage deal, and I'm deeply satisfied this day has finally come, for the sake of the people of Israel and the families waiting in agony.
And for the sake of the Palestinians, too. Holy smokes, man.
For the sake of the world, folks, I mean, can't we all just get along? Didn't somebody say one time? I mean, how many times do we have to run this playbook? You know what I mean? Right. This has been, it's really tough for me to be positive about it when I feel like this is, you know, 10 years ago before that, 10 years before. I mean, this has been a continual historical turning of the page. And next thing you know, there's hostilities again, more hostages taken, so on and so forth, over and over, et cetera, et cetera. You see what I'm saying?
Let me just jump in there, because this is always the occupation of Gaza and the West Bank by the Israeli government has always bothered me on so many levels, on the moral level, on the legal level, on the humanitarian level, but also on the strategic level, because there is this concept of strategic procrastination. That's what Netanyahu called.
Right.
We are never going to give these folks a decent state of their own, and we're just going to stall and stall and stall and oppress and oppress and oppress. But what is the strategy there? What really was the long-term strategy there? There was no long-term strategy, because, you know, so long as you're oppressing people, they are going to resist, and their friends and brothers and cousins are going to resist. So there was no real solution there in this strategic procrastination idea. And it came back and bit Netanyahu on the backside, though he, was able to use it as to his political advantage. And it certainly bit the 1,200 people who died on October 7th. Pretty hard, and it bit the Palestinian people pretty hard. I mean, there always has needed to be a settlement, a decent settlement with a decent Palestinian state. And I hope this ceasefire will lead to that, but I don't really see the outline for that right now.
Well, not with the incoming administration, who has said time and again that they don't believe in a multi-state solution.
There's nothing in this that refers to a two-state solution. As mentioned, Matt, there's nothing in here that says how the Palestinians will govern the Gaza Strip. And if it's going to be Hamas, well, Netanyahu's not going to go along with that. The question, right. We have a question. Let's throw this one out there and we can continue on. Folks, you can join us as well. 855-752-4842. How much credit should Trump get for this? Interesting question. Let's hear it. Cut number 7, please, Jess.
How much credit do you give to the Trump team for this deal? Trump is already taking credit for it.
Well, you know, this is the exact framework of the deal I proposed back in May. Exact. And we got the world to endorse it. Secondly, it's America's support for Israel that helped them badly weaken Hamas and its backers and create the conditions for this deal. And thirdly, I knew this deal would have to be implemented by the next team, so I told my team to coordinate closely with the incoming team to make sure we're all speaking with the same voice, because that's what American presidents do.
Yes, I mean, I hope the incoming administration will abide by, follow through, and support this deal as well. Call me a little skeptical, given the nature of the incoming administration. But if it was Biden with the incoming administration advice and consent, you know, who knows? You got to assume that they know that there's going to be a change in leadership. So if that's the case, fine. Do we have any more? Is that the last one?
That's the last one. There was a right at the end of that press conference, a journalist called out and asked, Mr. President, who deserves credit for this, you or Trump? And he had already walked away from the microphone. So he comes back just a little bit within range and goes, is that a joke? But it wasn't clean enough for me to cut.
Yeah, that was Biden saying, no, Trump doesn't deserve credit. I deserve the credit. But to me, who deserves the credit doesn't really matter. We needed to get to the ceasefire. And Biden does deserve a lot of credit for establishing this and trying to get it across the finish line. And he finally got it across the finish line. So I give him some kudos. I just wish it happened 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 10 months ago, 12 months ago.
Wish we wouldn't have to be in the situation again. And if things don't change, we will be in the situation again in not too far a time. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show, 855-752-4842. Taking your calls next, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Governor Tony Evers says he's working to reform gun laws in Wisconsin, and he'll face resistance from Republicans. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei-Olson explains.
The governor says he'll be looking at things like red flag laws, expanding background checks, and gun storage laws. In 2019, Evers called lawmakers to a special session to address gun violence. Republican leaders famously called the legislature into session and immediately adjourned, gaveling in and gaveling out, something they've done multiple times since. Now, since Evers took office, state Democrats have proposed at least 30 bills they say would make Wisconsin safer. But none of them have passed because Republicans haven't supported them and they have control of the legislature. Evers signed an executive order creating the Office of Violence Prevention, surrounded by advocates and leaders. Here's the big question. Can he get Republicans on board?
Just weeks after a school shooting took the lives of a student and an educator who never returned home, common sense gun safety reform and reducing crime and gun violence must finally be a shared priority that transcends politics and partisanship. Reducing crime and violence should be an issue that receives earnest bipartisan support this session.
To create this new Office of Violence Prevention, Evers used $10 million from leftover federal funding to get it started. But going forward, it'll need money allocated in the state budget to keep it going, and that is up to the legislature. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Meanwhile, Culver's announced yesterday that its fundraising efforts for Abundant Life Christian School totaled $165,000. 80 locations participated in the fundraiser on January 6th following the deadly shooting in December. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was found dead in a bathtub in 1971. Some believe he faked his own death. A new docuseries, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison, takes a closer look at the rock star who was only 27 when he fled to Paris, supposedly to get away from fame. Director Jeff Finn features Morrison's brother Andy and his sister Anne, as well as archival footage as he dives deep into the singer's life and death. The three-episode documentary can be streamed on Apple TV for $7.99. Stop the presses. Robert De Niro will be playing a gangster in a new mob film. If that's not fun enough, De Niro's rival gangster in said mob film will be played by Robert De Niro. The film Alto Nights will tell the story of a 1950s dispute between legendary New York gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were once best friends but became adversaries. The film will be directed by Barry Levinson. How great would it be if De Niro received an Oscar and a Razzie for the same movie? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the mid-30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently 21 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for being a part. You can join us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. on the board. My co-host for the day, Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Progressive Magazine Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and friend of ours. Thank you, Matt, for joining us. The topic as of the moment, the Israeli-Hamas deal, a ceasefire, hostage exchange, and some of the additional reporting here. Now, Trump is also taking credit. So we heard some sound of Joe Biden taking credit. Trump's also taking credit. The Independent is reporting as such. The president-elect argued in a Truth Social post that the agreement expected to be formally confirmed later Wednesday could have only happened as a result of our historic victory in November. Another quote, a signal to the entire world that my administration would seek peace and negotiate deals to ensure the safety of all Americans and our allies. I'm thrilled American and Israeli hostages will be returning home to be reunited with their families and loved ones. Let's see, a couple more of the quotes. The outgoing Biden administration described working tightly with the Trump team to seal the deal. Again, according to the reporting at The Independent. Earlier this week, White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters that the Biden administration had coordinated very closely with the incoming Trump team to present a united message to all the parties, which says it is in the American national security interest, regardless of party, regardless of outgoing or incoming administration, to get this deal done as fast as possible.
Well, I'm glad they worked together to get it done, if that helped getting the thing done.
Right. I mean, ultimately, that's the point, right? Yeah.
And maybe Trump's got something there because, you know, he said, you know, if this thing isn't settled before I get in and, you know, the Gaza Strip is going to, all hell's going to break out.
All hell's going to break loose, right? Yes.
So, I mean, there is that too going on. But, you know, I'm still struck by the thing that you're struck by, Dom, which is, is this really going to lead to a grand solution where we don't have to deal with this problem every, you know, year, every 2 years, it blows up in our face or in the faces of the Palestinian people or the Israeli people? Because look at, you've got Governor Huckabee, who's going to be U.S. ambassador to Israel, who believes in a greater Israel, doesn't believe there is such a thing as the Palestinian people. You know, if the Palestinian people don't get a state of their own, there are going to be Palestinians, whether they're living in Palestine or not, who are going to be so outraged that, you know, their family's been, you know, dispersed and their uncles have been killed or their sons have been killed. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to give up this. They're going to be like, you know, Japanese after World War II or hiding out in the island still fighting the war. And is that something we want, especially with, you know, all sorts of weapons that are possible for people to get a hold of?
Yes, and again, this solves the immediate crisis, but it doesn't solve the problem, right? And that's a concern. The New York Times has a headline, Matt, Gaza hostage deal could come as Trump takes office in echoes of 1981. The subheadline, dozens of American hostages held at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran for more than a year were freed just as Ronald Reagan was inaugurated.
Well, that suggests that that Trump was telling Netanyahu not to reach a deal while Biden was, or Kamala Harris was running for president.
Gosh, that sounds familiar.
That would be,
that's the direct analogy.
That would be the analogy because as it's understood, as I understand history, one of the reasons, one of the headwinds for Carter when he was negotiating or trying to get the hostages released was that the Reagan campaign behind their back, and I would say illegally, were also courting the Iranians and telling them that don't release the hostages until Reagan gets in. Because, of course, that would be a boost to the Carter administration right at the tail end of an election. And so if that were to be the case, and it seemingly history would indicate that the Reagan campaign purposefully delayed the release of American hostages for political reasons. That is not what happened here. What happened here, according to the reporting, is that this was a framework set in place by the Biden administration dating back to May. As far as I know, the Trump campaign has not been in contact, no reporting with Netanyahu saying, don't do this. And apparently the Biden administration and the incoming Trump administration, at least the transition team, have been working together to show a unified face on this as it pertains to the United States national security, which I think is a positive thing. So I think that that headline is a little misleading, Matt. I don't think it's analogous at all.
Well, unless they've got some information that the Trump folks were telling Netanyahu to drag his feet. Netanyahu was dragging his feet. That's a fact. I mean, he would continually, you know, make last minute changes that would scuttle the agreement after May that looked like it was about to happen and never happened until now. But I don't have the facts behind that. I mean, it does make me raise an eyebrow and wonder whether it was happening. But, you know, I'm a trained journalist. I don't want to go off saying it happened when I don't have any facts that say it happened.
There's no indication that that was, in fact, the case. 855-752-4842. Let's get to it. CJ perhaps has a different opinion on this topic. Hey, CJ, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt and Dom. Thanks for taking my call. Well, obviously,
hey,
Jeff broke pretty much everything down, but the irony that this has with the Carter administration with Iran and for 444 days tried to negotiate a release, and on the day of Ronald Reagan and peace through strength, on his inauguration day, they were released. Because just like Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump is a man of his word. And he said, if you don't release them before I'm inaugurated, all hell will break loose. You've got the tape of that. I'm sure Jess can pull that up. And that was while Robert Lighthizer was standing next to him. And Biden claims for 8 months that he's negotiated this deal. Well, isn't it funny? You can look at the chronology. This is peace through strength and a Republican president, and it's now following the weakest president in America's history.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, CJ. Let you go. Now allow me to retort, if I may, and Matt can jump in here as well. I just explained that why this is not the same, right? The Reagan campaign was secretly negotiating with Iran to not have the hostages released. Do you accept that as fact, CJ?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, then maybe you should do a little research on that, my friend. It was not about Ronald Reagan coming in and then all of a sudden the Iranians all being so scared. It was that Reagan was reaching out behind the Carter administration's back to tell the Iranians to hang on to those hostages for political reasons, to make Reagan look strong so people like you would believe that. So basically, Ronald Reagan negotiated with terrorists to keep American hostages hostage longer than they perhaps should have been. Is that new news to you, CJ?
You don't think that it was like the threat that he gave the Taliban when he handed him the
picture? I'm asking you, is that news to you, CJ? Is that new information for you about Ronald Reagan's dealing with the Iranian during the hostage crisis? Did you know that, CJ, or is that new to you?
October 7th.
So he didn't know that. Matt, what
do
you think?
My understanding is that Reagan sent his designee to be CIA director, William Casey, to talk to the Iranians prior to the election, tell them, you know, slow walk this thing. Don't make a deal with the Carter administration. And that was a treasonous thing to do. It was an illegal thing to do. No one has the right to negotiate for the United States other than the executive, the chief executive and his people. And you know, think of the hostages who were had to stay there longer because of the shenanigans that Casey and Reagan were pulling. Just to make sure that they got elected. I mean, that was political tricks of the worst variety.
Of the worst kind. If it were to be analogous, it would be that Donald Trump would have delayed the release of this deal until after he was president. Like, you know, hey, make this happen on day one. Make it happen next week, not during the Biden administration. But perhaps if the reporting is accurate and the Biden team and the Trump team were working in unison for this, great. I'm fine with that. You know, national security does not know politics. You know, our enemies are happy to see us at each other's throats, no doubt. But we're talking about national security. That's a national security for everyone. Now, that aside, And folks, you can join us as well, 855-752-4842. My concern, as I have articulated about this deal, it's a three-phase deal, 42 days, 42 days, 42 days. Time kills all deals. And the phase two and phase three, while there is an outline and has not yet officially been established. If someone like, and that won't be established, it will not happen before Monday. So if this, all you folks out there, all the megas out there that say this is all because of Donald Trump's strength. Okay, you can have that. I disagree. I think it's a combination, at best, or primarily the current administration. But if you want to throw in the all hell will break loose threats, fine. Then ponder this. If phase two and phase three fall to the wayside, is that because of the weak leadership of Donald Trump? Are you going to take responsibility for those phases falling apart? Is that going to be Donald Trump's fault? Will that be his foreign policy blunders if phase two and phase three in 42 days and 42 days after that don't come to fruition? Are you megas, CJ, are you conservatives going to say that's Biden's fault or is that Trump's fault? You know what I mean? Who's taking responsibility?
And on the flip side, I mean, Biden does deserve credit for helping Israel deflect the Iranian incoming missiles.
Yeah.
And made Iran's military look bad. Netanyahu, and I hate to give him credit for anything, but he militarily did totally degrade not only Hamas, but Hezbollah. And so Hamas is in a totally weakened position here. And when you're in a weak position and, you know, you've got to at some point, you know, negotiate an end.
855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown, you will be next. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
Yeah, that Iran thing. That was pretty well established by now. In fact, there was an election while the hostages were still there. And like 96% of the votes went for candidates that did back releasing them. And that was where the Iran-Contra and everything, Reagan's people, was it Casey, said, hold on to them and we'll give you parts for, you know, the American parts. For
that
the
was,
American
yeah, that was a separate, that was another Iranian, you know, it's amazing how the strong Republicans never deal with terrorists until they deal with terrorists.
It all started there, really. And now, even just recently in the past year or so, one of the guys on the plane to Iran came out. So, you know, there's no doubt about it anymore. But this deal with Hamas, Gaza, the Biden administration, of course, said there's going to be a transition here, you know. So he had somebody. He asked Trump to send somebody, and he sent a real estate guy. So Trump knew dang well that there had been an agreement approaching being, you know, settled on, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's why he could come out and say, oh, you know, make this big threat and then take the credit and make it look like. And people like CJ will just fall for that.
Good point. I mean, certainly, Matt, Trump saw the writing on the wall. They know there were ongoing negotiations. This has been going on for, you know, well over a year, at least back to May. So it's not a big stretch for someone like Donald Trump to make a claim like that in order to perhaps garner some credit for it.
Yeah, and let's be real. I mean, Trump, you know, claims credit for the sun coming up in the morning. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just who he is.
Well, and that's the thing, though. If this deal, if phase two and phase three don't come around, that's going to be entirely under the Donald Trump administration. And hopefully that does happen. Hopefully we have a longer-term solution where we're not back here in another 3 to 5 years talking about the next Israeli Hamas or whatever terrorist organization or organization will be, you know, claiming hostages at that point. I mean, things need to fundamentally change on the ground in people's minds and people's hearts. And people have a right to self-determination. Until that happens, I mean, how would you act? If you had the boot of somebody else on you all the time, regardless of what your father or grandfather may have been involved in, I know I'd be fighting back. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Join us 855-752-4842. Lots of texters, lots of callers. We'll get to you next.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Welcome back to the Dom Salty Show, 855-752-4842. That's not CCR, but it's a good song. Love the rock and roll version. Thank you, Jess. Got Matt Rothschild joining me today. You folks on the phones and the text as well, 855-75-Civic Patrick from the 608. Called Iran Contra, arms for hostages. Yes, they were during the Reagan years, Matt. I mean, if I recall, and I was... Man, I remember when Reagan came on. I was just a wee lad. You know, born in 71. I was, what, 8, 9 years old? And here here comes this
making me feel bad, Don.
This slick old man coming in with, you know, with the promises of a shining city on a hill and his strength, you know, gets the Iran hostages released. Well, we talked about that already. That was a backdoor deal to screw Carter. And in doing so, you know, keeping the hostages there for a little longer than they needed to be. But that aside, there was also the Iran-Contra deal, which happened later, Matt. That had nothing to do with the initial hostage crisis during the 1980 election.
You know, I was in Washington, D.C., working for Ralph Nader when Reagan was elected, and I saw the Reagan crew come to town, and the ladies in all their long fur coats and the right-wingers driving the big cars and the arrogance and swagger of the Reagan folks, and it was really obnoxious to watch. And then to see this kind of rosy interpretation of Reagan that's happened over the last 30 years, 40 years, people forget about the treasonous actions of William Casey and the Iranian hostages. People forget about the totally illegal Iran-Contra hostage deal. There was a embargo on aid to the Contras. The Contras were trying to overthrow the Sandinista government in Nicaragua, the socialist government in Nicaragua. The United States had been funding them, and they were committing gross human rights abuses. So there was a law passed that said the United States can't fund the Contras. Well, Reagan wanted to continue to fund the Contras, and he found a way to do it illegally by getting the, letting the Iranians fund the Contras and reimbursing the Iranians. That was the Iran-Contra deal and Oliver North and all those folks. But that was another reason I always thought, you know, that Reagan should have been impeached or prosecuted. And I remember when Reagan died, I was contacted by local reporter saying, "What's your feeling on Reagan?" I said, "Well, he's a war criminal, you know." Some friends of mine I was playing basketball with, including some Republicans, were just horrified because everybody else was saying pious things about what a great man he was. And it was just a bunch of BS.
Well, and it's not that people forget, Matt. Some people just don't know. They don't know,
right. You
know, and I'm not knocking CJ specifically in this case or those folks that are unaware of this particular part of history. And I didn't know it when I was 9 years old. And so, of course, I looked up and like, oh, this guy, man, what strength. And I, you know, what kind of politics do you know when you're 9 years old? And I grew up out in the country. And so when you're on the playground, you know, with the other 9-year-old kids in fourth and fifth grade, you know, oh, no one likes Carter. Carter sucks. Well, you don't even know. You don't even know what inflation means. You know what I mean? So I got older, Matt. You know, I grew up and then I started reading a little bit and realized, oh, damn. Well, that was some shady stuff. And that never should have happened. And so the twist for all this, what did Reagan say? Oh, in my heart, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, my heart was in the right spot. Something along the lines. He basically played it off. But now I know that we did do it. Yeah, you did it. You did it. And folks still want to give Ronald Reagan a pass as some high and mighty, you know, jelly bean eating. I mean, look at, you know, the worshipfulness of Scott Walker with right. Ronald Reagan, man. I mean, it's weird. It's... You know, it can only be surpassed perhaps by the Trump infatuation with these Republicans, man.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a cult, but it was a total whitewashing of history.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple of generations of young Republicans like Walker who, you know, idealized and idolized Ronald Reagan. And maybe there's something psychological about the need to, you know, idolize someone. Because, of course, Trump's got a lot of people idolizing him right now.
855-752-4842. I had to pull up the quote. A few months ago from Ronald Reagan, right? This is what he said back in the day. A few months ago, I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions tell me that's true, but the facts and evidence tell me it's not. What the hell does that even mean? You
know? In my heart,
I
did not cheat.
That's right.
But the facts and the evidence of what occurred in the bedroom, well.
Baby, I love you. I swear I didn't, but apparently you caught me, so I guess I did. But my heart tells me I didn't cheat on you. 855-752-4842. I mean, that's what the man said. I remember that quote when he said it live. I was watching it. Disgusting.
Yeah. Crazy what you can get away with a line like that.
Get away with, man. You can get away with trying to overthrow the government. I mean, this was small potatoes back then. Reagan wasn't shooting high enough. Let's get one more caller in here. Jim from Appleton, you are up. Welcome. What do you got?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to remind you that midsummer, I believe it was late July, Mr. Netanyahu took a trip to Mar-a-Lago and met with Trump for a day. You know, not that I'm saying that he was told school play the game, but yeah,
let's
not forget that did happen.
Yeah, and thanks for the call and the reminder, Jim. Yeah, it was a little sketch. He wasn't the only world leader to go visit and kiss the ring down at Mar-a-Lago. Matt, we got 30 seconds. What do you think? Was there anything that came out of that meeting, in your opinion, based on what we're seeing today?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen the facts, and the fact that he was there isn't conclusive that there was a little deal made. You know, I wait to see more reporting on it. If there was, I wouldn't be shocked. Nothing would shock me about Trump.
Nothing shocks us anymore. Folks, come back with us. Pam Bondi talking to the Senate today. We're going to get to that as well. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you
yes.
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A ceasefire and hostage release deal announced today by Qatar and the U.S. between Israel and Hamas. It includes the release of more than 30 hostages held captive since the October 7th attacks. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Tel Aviv with more.
While phase one is underway, negotiations have to start for phase two of the deal and then eventually for phase three. So it's a complicated process. I would say it's very fragile.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office in a statement moments ago said, as the prime minister will not make an official announcement until final details of the agreement, which are currently being worked on, are finalized. President Biden, who commended negotiators for their hard work on talks, delivers his final address to the nation from the Oval Office tonight. The CDC has confirmed a positive bird flu case in a child in San Francisco. It's the second child infected with bird flu in the U.S. The first was also a child from California. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.